Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin, Sanhedrin 27. Our Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis is enumerating the relatives who are forbidden to be judges and witnesses in cases involving their own relatives. They are invalidated in those cases. And so our Gemara asks, Menahani Mili, what is the source? From where do we learn that a relative is invalid to be a witness and also a judge? So the Gemara cites a Braisa, which cites a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, which states, Uyumtu avos al banim, uvanim uyumtu al avos, that parents will not die for their children, and children will not die for their fathers. So the Gemara says, what is this verse coming to teach us? If it's just coming to teach us that fathers will not die for the sins of their sons, and sons will not die for the sins of their fathers, we don't need a special verse to teach us that, because it states, Ish b'chato yumasu, each person will die for their own sins, not for the sins of their parents. Rather, we must say, what does it mean, will yumtu avos albanim, that what does it mean that sons will not die from their fathers? Be'edus banim, or be'edus avos, that a child cannot die from the testimony of his father, and a son cannot die from the testimony of his father, and a father cannot die from the testimony of his son. So the Gemara, first of all, goes on a tangent and says, Ubanim ba'avon avos lo. Do you mean to say that a son will not die for the sin of his fathers? But what about the fact that there is another verse in Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, which states that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai with the second tablets, God said to him the 13 attributes, and one of those 13 attributes was, Poked avon avos albanim. God will visit the sons of the fathers upon the children. So there is an explicit verse saying that children will die for the sins of their fathers. So the Gemara says that is an exception. Hasam kisha ochazin masei avoseim biyadein. So that is when the children continue the wicked ways of their fathers. When they continue the wicked ways of their fathers, then they will die for their father's sins. But if they don't continue the wicked ways, then they will not. And so the Gemara now clarifies, is it not a general principle that somebody in general will be punished for the sins of their friends? Isn't there a verse which states, in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 37, V'choshlu ish be'achiv, that a person will stumble over his brother, meaning to say, what does it mean? Be'achiv, it says the Talmud, ish ba'avon achiv. We have a braisa which tells us that somebody will die as a result of the sins of his brothers. And this teaches us, milamed shekulan arevim zelazeh. This teaches us that everybody is responsible for each other. So if one person commits a sin, it's very possible that another person will be punished as a result of it. So how can we have established this principle that a person will die for their own sins when we have a verse that says a person can be punished for the sins of somebody else? So the Gemara draws a distinction and says, no, that case is different. Why? There, a person who has the ability to object to the sins of his friend and he does not object. So if he has the ability to object and he does not object, then he will be punished for the sins of his friend. But if he doesn't have the ability, then he won't be punished. So the Gemara started off discussing how do we know that a person cannot die from the testimony of their father or from the testimony of their son. And it goes from there to establish the principle that we're all responsible for each other, but that's limited. It's limited to when we have the ability to prevent the other person from sinning. But if we don't have the ability to prevent the other person from sinning, then we will not be punished for their ways. The rabbis understand this concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. All of us are responsible for each other to allow somebody to make a blessing on behalf of somebody else and to fulfill that other person's obligation. But this itself needs to be understood properly, this concept of Arevus. So in the Shud Divrei Yitziv, he's asked the following question. A person says that he came to a house and the house didn't have a mezuzah, and the guy's like, I'm not at all interested in putting up a mezuzah. So the person who was the mezuzah lover says, you know what, I'm going to go out, and he buys a mezuzah and he puts up the mezuzah for the other person. Then the other person who he put it up for felt embarrassed and he paid him back for the mezuzah. But the question he brought to the Divrei Yitziv was, should I have made a blessing when I put up a mezuzah? In general, I'm allowed to make a blessing on behalf of another person. For example, I can recite the Kiddush on behalf of somebody else and the other person just needs to say amen. But even beyond that, you can act as an agent for somebody else and just do the whole blessing for the other person, even if the other person is not there. So, for example, the Magen Avraham already has a question that's brought to him about whether or not a person why a person who, if they're doing the bedikas chametz, if they're searching for chametz on behalf of somebody else, why can they recite the blessing if the other person is not there? So how are they able to recite it? So we say that they are able to recite it, and the reason why we're able to recite it under those circumstances is because there's the concept of agency, that the person has appointed you to be an agent on his behalf to search his house, and also the concept of arevus. He is asking you to search his house for the chametz. So even though he's not there, you can recite the blessing on his behalf. And so the question that the Divrei Yitziv is asked is saying, okay, this person is not here, but can I recite the blessing for putting up the mezuzah on his behalf? And so the Divrei Yitziv says, no, this case is totally different from the case of the person who is the agent to search for chametz. Because first of all, the other person was appointed to be his agent. Here, nobody asked the person who put up the mezuzah to be the agent of the person who didn't have a mezuzah on his house. And secondly, in this case, we would say that if there's no agency, that there is no arevus, because there's no bracha under these circumstances. And the proof is from our sugya, because we say arevus works if we're saying we're preventing somebody else from sinning. That's the fundamental concept of arevus. But to go out and do a blessing on his behalf, that only works if that person has asked you to be his agent or to recite it on his behalf or recite some main. But if he's not there and he hasn't asked you to do it, then there's no ability for you to recite the blessing on his behalf. And so therefore, under the circumstance where you put the mezuzah up on somebody's house for that person, there's no blessing that should be required there, because you have there's no benefit to that person for you putting it up and you reciting a blessing for him. So that is the ruling on this case.